Would you open your Bible once again, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, where we were this morning. Hello, Betty. Are you grinning at me about something? No, you're not. Okay, just check it. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. All right. If anyone gets this next question, I'm really going to be, I'm going to be surprised, but I'm almost going to be hurt, though, because I think I've got a question that nobody's going to answer. So, anyway, this morning I made a statement about this passage of Scripture where God took this political mess and made a wonderful revival, brought about a wonderful, mighty movement of His Spirit. And I said, I'm spotlighting three heroes, but I only gave you two of them. You probably noticed that, didn't you? Nobody told me about it. Usually I find out on the porch, all right, you didn't give the third one. Who's the third one? But this morning, I only gave two of them. I gave you the people of the land who rose up and did the right thing, and so they were heroes. And I gave you Josiah, because he was used of God to turn the people back toward God. But then there's a third hero in this passage. Now, fearfully and with great trepidation, I ask, does anybody know who the third hero in the passage is? Please, if you don't know, lay low, okay? Just let me have my fun. I'm old. I'll be gone before long. And I just kind of like to, enjoy the fact that I've stumped everybody here. Who is the third hero? Someone says, well, you know, I look in there, and there are not many people in that passage of Scripture. Ammon is in there, but he certainly was no hero. Manasseh's imprint is on this, but he certainly was no hero. Who was the third hero? And somebody might even say, oh, Kathy, you got it. You might even say that there is not a third hero in this. I don't see a third hero, but there is a third hero in this. All right? Where is he? Well, he's down in verse 2 of chapter 34, where it says, of Josiah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of whom? David. Well, there goes. They popped my bubble. Somebody got my mystery here and solved it. David is the third hero in this story. Now, interestingly, he is the third hero, even though he's been dead for some 350 years. Now, how is someone a hero when they've been dead for 350 years? Well, David is a hero because without him, Josiah would have had no role model to follow, would he? He would have had no good example to follow. Now, this third hero, David, is where you and I come back into this story. Yes, we are a part of the people of the land, but we certainly, most of us, are not of Josiah age, are we? But we can come back in here. You know, we should never underestimate the power of a good example. A good example is something that cannot die. If you are a truly good example, your heritage, your testimony, your life story will live on and on and on. It will be remembered most likely in the minds of your children, in the minds and memories of those who watch you and observe you. You will live far beyond your years if you're a good example. But you know, the memory of the just, the Bible talks about that. It is a very powerful thing. But you know, the wicked tend to be forgotten except for the memory of their wickedness. We would have never probably heard the name Manasseh, or if we heard it, we would not identify it so clearly had it not been for his wickedness. But we remember him, and it's a bitter taste in our mouths. But here is this man, Josiah. He is a mighty man of God, and part of the reason he's a mighty man of God is that one day he looked around and there was his dad, not much of a role model there. He looked back to his grandfather, Manasseh, not much of a role model there. And he may have begun to ask questions. The Word of God was lost by this time. And who was good? Well, and so someone, some aged person, stroked his beard and said, well, there was a man, a king, who lived back many years ago, and his name was David. And maybe this old sage began to tell Josiah about David and the memory of David, the memory of his righteousness, his goodness, that he was the man after God's own heart, swept down across the centuries, literally, and inspired this young man. And the Bible says that he walked in the ways of David, his great, 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 and I don't know how many greats, grandfather. And so the memory of David lived on. You know, it's such a blessing to me to think about that in the light of this church. Many of you have worked hard for many years to set up a Christian home. You have admirable Christian homes. Your children now are beginning to reflect the glory of what you've done. It is such a blessing to me to watch it and to see and to think about what God might do. Now, some might look around and say, all right, if God was going to start a revival right now, where would He get the Josiahs? Where would He get those who might lead that revival on? And I say to you very plainly that God has Josiahs in the wings today. He not only has Josiahs in the wings today, but can I say to those of you who believe in letting God bless you with children, that God also has Josiahs in the wombs today? Is that a blessing or what? That God has Christian women out there and Christian men who will be bearing children down through the years to come as God tarries, and any one of them could be an 8-year-old Josiah one day. God could revive His people in His land at any moment by someone that you've never seen before. Someone who is just a child now or not even born yet, might be pre-birth or really now in the mind of God. Very real, because in the mind of God, but someone we've not seen yet. Never, I repeat it, never underestimate the power of a good example. Never underestimate the power of what you're doing. Sometimes Satan, as you know, tries to discourage the believer. He tries to make that believer think that there is really no hope. That, in fact, what he'll do is he'll take every negative thing that's going on in your life. If your children are acting like they're full of the devil that on a particular day, Satan will jump on your back and he will say, see there, everything that you're doing is not doing one bit of good. You are spinning your wheels and wasting your time. You might as well eat, drink, and be merry. He'll tell you that. Sometimes he will make you think, well, really, this is one of those exorcist cases where my child is really full of the devil and demon-possessed, and I've just got a real problem on my hands here. Everything is backfiring. Everything is going wrong. But you know, God has a way of reminding us at certain times of who He is and what He can do, and in fact, what He's already done. You know, I thought about it here tonight. I didn't really orchestrate a whole lot of this. But just a little while ago, y'all saw Noelle come and make that announcement. She was up here making that announcement saying, y'all remember the Good News Club meeting, right? And she was making that announcement. And then later on, Cassie stood over here, and I just grinned because I thought, what a sense of humor God has. Those girls were born on the same day. And here they are, both of them serving God. Now, I've got good news for you. If you're a parent and you're sitting out there and saying, you know, none of my children right now are serving God, can I tell you something? God is not done yet. God is not finished yet. God isn't finished till the final trumpet blows, is He? He is not finished. He will continue to work. And I'm convinced that a lot of those that are way out there are coming way back here. Did you hear what I said? I'm convinced that a lot of those that are way out there are coming way back here. You know why? Because God is faithful. It is part of His nature. And He does not allow the work that He does to go unblessed and His promises to go unfulfilled. I had a good illustration of that. You know, God occasionally has to take the preacher to school. And this past week, I've been to school on two different occasions. Past Thursday, Janice Raines had called me and asked me, in fact, she actually called a day or two ahead of that, and asked me to go see someone. God had just impressed her heart, kind of broken her heart with a particular situation, asked me to go see him. Thursday evening, I got on my glad rags and started out the door and going to make this visit. I got there, and as often happens when you are going, they weren't home. And so I thought, well, what am I going to do with myself? And then I remembered, you know, that I needed to pick up some things for Bonnie. Again, ladies, I'm really impressed with all of you, what all you get done, because I find out I can't seem to get all the work done since Bonnie has been down. And so I was on my way, after I tried to make that visit, up to Walmart, everybody's store. And so I was going into Walmart, went in there, and went back, and I found myself, for some reason, back in the section back there where the TVs are, which is ironic. We don't even use a TV, but except for movies, that sort of thing. And so, but I found myself back there, and I was looking at something, and as I was looking at it, there's this young couple that came up, and they were beside me, arguing. And he was saying, I don't think that'd look good. Well, I couldn't stand it. I had to look and see what wouldn't look good, so I looked over there to see what wouldn't look good, and it was this steering wheel cover. And he said, the windows are going to be tinted, and that's just not going to look right in there. And, you know, they were just arguing back and forth. And he said, I don't believe that'd look good. She said, well, why don't I just go over to AutoZone and get what I really want then? He said, AutoZone's closed. And she said, I don't believe it's closed. I believe it's open until 9 or 10 o'clock. It's not either. It closes at 8 o'clock. She said, it's not 8 o'clock. What time do you think it is? And they were going back and forth like that. None of you have ever done that, but they were going back and forth. And so, by this time, I was just kind of frozen in my place there, kind of participating vicariously in this argument. And so, I thought, you know, I really feel impressed to talk to this couple, but how am I going to start a conversation about Jesus right in the middle of this argument? How am I going to get to talk to them? And so, I'm standing there stupidly. And suddenly, this guy turns around, and as he's turning, he says, I'll tell you, I'll show you what time it is. I'll find out what time it is. Sir, do you know what time it is? And so I pulled out my Mickey Mouse phone here that I got back in the dark ages, and I looked at it, and he said, hey, I got that same type phone. I said, you poor man. And he said, I said, it's 7:40. He said, I told you it's almost 8 o'clock. Now, what he told her was it was already 8 o'clock. But he changed it right then. And he said, I told you it's almost 8 o'clock. He said, sir, I hated to bother you like that and ask you what time it was. And I appreciate you telling me. And so he just started talking to me. I thought, well, you know, you really can't, you have a problem with focus, don't you? You were arguing with her. Stick to your business and leave me alone. But he started talking to me. And as I was talking to him, I thought, you know, the Lord has opened this door up. He's talking to me. And so I said, well, I said, hey, by the way, I pulled out a gospel tract and I handed it to the guy and I said, I pastor this church on the back of the tract here. I wonder if you guys go to church anywhere. And he kind of stepped back and said, no, we don't. He said, we need to be in church. I know that. And then he looked at me, and he said the strangest thing. He said, just talking to you here gives me cold chills all over my body. Well, I didn't know exactly how to take that. Was he saying, Lurch, you give me the creeps? Is that what he was saying? Or what exactly was he saying? And then he said something else. He said, I think it's because you remind me of my grandfather. Now, I have to say, I like it better when I used to remind them of their father. That you remind me of my grandfather. And he said, he died preaching. He said that was his wish, that was his prayer, that he could be in the pulpit one day preaching, finish his sermon, and die. And he said one day, he said he got up there and he was preaching. He said he was the type of preacher who had to have a drink of water every few minutes. You know that kind of preacher? The steamers run on steam. And he said he was the type of guy who had to get a drink of water every once in a while. And he said he finished his sermon and dropped and died right there. He said, you remind me of him. And suddenly stepped back again and rubbed it. He said, I've got those cold chills. He said, I can't believe I'm talking to you here. He said, you remind me of my grandfather. He said, you know, he said, I got saved in his church years ago. And he said, I felt like for the last several years that God was working on me. He said, the last year, he said, God has been working on me. And he said, here I am talking to you. And we were right in the middle of Walmart. This kid, he didn't care if 50 people were listening. He said, now I'm talking to you here. He said, I can't believe we're talking together like this. Well, I don't need to belabor that story, but it was a grand time together. Now, I want to ask you, what was really going on there? Was I giving him those feelings, those chills? Was it me? It wasn't, was it? It was the memory of his grandfather used by the Spirit of God. And suddenly, he was under mighty conviction of his sin, of the way that he was living, of all that was going on in his life, because his grandfather's testimony, his grandfather's good example lived on. Now, beloved, I want to assure you, your testimony will live on even with those who are not following Christ right now. They will never be able to forget what you gave your life for and what God did through you. They'll never be able to forget what you were. I dare say, if I'd asked that young man, well, tell me about one of your granddad's sermons, he might have drawn a blank. He couldn't tell me all the exact things that he said, but he remembered what he was. And what is really important is what you are. That's why when we read of Josiah here, that Josiah walked in the ways of David, his great-great-great-grandfather, he walked in the ways that David was. Second question. How do you account for the fact that just when this assassination happened, that there at that precise moment, there was this great kid named Josiah? How do you account for the timing of that? Well, the answer is obvious. God, in His sovereignty, place Josiah right there. It was a dark day, but God had His Josiah there. I am convinced that He does again today. This morning is very interesting. All of you know that in our church here we have a young man named Josiah. Y'all know that, don't you? He's hiding over there right now. He wore the wrong color shirt to hide, though. Josiah and I have a good friendly relationship. And so, after I had preached and extolled the virtues of the biblical Josiah, the Crooked Creek Josiah, the Patterson Josiah, came by me, and he's a kidder. And he said, okay, Brother Tom. He said, I will run for president. In other words, I will fulfill all your hopes and dreams. I, even I only. But you know what? I laugh at that now. And you laugh at that now. But deep down inside, I'm not laughing. Because I happen to know that when Josiah was born, his mother named him Josiah based on this character. And she knew the story very well. He was the last good king, the last great king in the nation of Judah. She named him that for a reason. And I've watched him for that reason down through these years since then. Josiah, you make jokes all you want to, but you're an unusual young man. I don't really doubt it. Just like I don't doubt it when I look around this auditorium and I see other young people. And I wonder what God's purpose might be in their life. Why did God create this fortress here 200 some odd years ago? Why did He do that? Why did He lay it on your hearts so many years ago to do your best to rear those children? Why did He do that? God doesn't spin His wheels. God doesn't waste time. He doesn't waste people. I'm convinced, now listen to this, that those who step up for God tomorrow will be the descendants of those who kneel down today. Those who kneel down and say, God, will You from my household and from my church raise up those who will not only stand for You, but they will speak for You and they will live for You and they will love You with all their hearts and they will bring mighty blessing and revival. You know, it stuns me how quickly all of this happened. There was no warning about this assassination in the Bible. These servants of the king plotted in secret and they killed the king, and immediately the people of the land rose up, brought justice, slayed those who had done the murder, done the assassination, brought justice back into the land, and they looked around, and there was Josiah. You say, how long will we have to wait for Josiah? Maybe Josiah's already here. Maybe he's in the wings right now. I mentioned this morning Evan Roberts. The main part of the Welsh Revival was started by that young man. And the way it started was so small scale. Evan Roberts just got a chance to speak to a very tiny youth group in his church. Just very much less than Brother Ricky has all the time. Very small youth group. And in that very small youth group, it's when the Welsh Revival began to explode. It just happened, Brother Rick. I can't explain it. Nor can I take this sermon any further. I've got to stop right here and let the Holy Spirit finish it in your heart. Would you bow your heads just a moment?